Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me begin today with an old story. One Sunday morning, a mother went to wake her son. "Son, get up. It's time to go to church." From under the blanket, the son groaned, "Mom, I don't want to go to church." The mother replied gently, "You know, our family goes to church together every Sunday morning." The son snapped back, "Why should I go? People there don't even like me. And honestly, I don't like them either." The mother paused, then calmly said, "There are two reasons you need to get up and go to church, my dear. First, you are 42 years old. Second, you are the pastor of the church." We laugh at this story, but if we are honest, it captures something very real about us. Those of us who have been going to church for many years know this well. Sunday mornings are not always easy. Waking up the children, getting everyone dressed and ready, rushing to be on time, it can be exhausting. And even when we finally walk through the church doors, our hearts are not always at peace. If the sermon runs wrong, our attention drifts. Small annoyances pile up. And even when there's a tension within the church, the weight feels even heavier. Eventually, this thought creeps in. Maybe I will just skip church today. Dear brothers and sisters, today's message begins with the very question, why do we go to church? In a time as complex, as weary as ours, going to church is no longer a simple habit. It's a conscious decision, sometimes even a costly one. So we must ask honestly, is it worth going to church on Sunday morning? Let's be clear. Going to church does not magically erase our sins once and for all. It does not shield us from being hurt. As we build relationships together, wounds and disappointments are inevitable. The church is far from perfect. There is an old saying, if you ever find a perfect church, don't join it, because you will ruin it. And so the question returns, why do we still go to church? Beloved friends, I want to approach this question with a provocative sentence. Community is dangerous. Those words belong not to me, but to Christian essayist Stanley Howard in the States. Why is community dangerous? Because when a community loses its diversity and collapsed into uniformity, it became a crowd marked by blind loyalty and violence. History has shown us this again and again. Community shaped by faith has turned into ideological armies. The church, called to witness to the gospel, has at times become a servant of nationalism and power. Churches that bless the Nazi regime. Contemporary congregations in North America that confuse the kingdom of God with political authority. When faith loses critical conscience, the church no longer reflects Christ. It mirrors the empire. So we must be honest. The church is no longer a automatically safe place. Then the question becomes, how can the church avoid becoming dangerous? What does it truly mean for people together in and through Jesus Christ? To answer this, we must return to the most fundamental question. What is the church? The Greek word ekklesia, which appears 114 times in the New Testament, comes from ek, out of, and kaleo, to call. The church quite literally means those who are called out. Originally, the word referred to Greek citizens summoned out of their homes for public assembly. But when gospel embraced this word, its meaning was transformed. It no longer described a place, but a people, a community called out by God. And here is the crucial point. Being called out is not something we choose. It's something that happens to us. It's not our initiative, but God's. Not our merit, but God's grace. Today's scripture reading makes this clear. The Lord brought them out, says Psalm 107. You have been called out, writes Peter. And Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Notice the grammar of grace here. We are not active, but we are passive. We are brought out, called out, and chosen. Not because we deserved it, but because God did. So whatever brought you here today to First Mennonite Church, your habits, your doubts, your faith, even your reluctance, the deeper truth is that something beyond you has already been at work, drawing you here. The same is true for me, standing here to preach. Look at scripture again. Abraham lied. Moses resisted. Gideon doubted. Jeremiah excused. Jonah ran away. Paul persecuted the church. Peter denied Jesus. At Jesus' arrest, all the disciples ran away and fled. Yet, every one of them was called out again and again into God's mission. The Bible is not a collection of self-made heroes. It's the story of ordinary people who are called out, willingly or unwillingly, into God's redemptive work. Years ago, when I was in a rural village in Guatemala, confused and burdened by the harsh realities I saw, I came across Eugene Peterson's The Message on Galatians 3:11-12. The person who lives in right relationship with God does so by embracing what God arranges for him. Doing things for God is not the same as entering into what God does for you. That verse pierced my heart. I realized I was not starting God's mission. I was being drawn into it. From that moment, a project for Guatemala children began. Education, care, and interfaith partnership that continues to this day. I did not choose it. I was called into it. This is what it means to be called out. It is not merely a change of location, but spiritual awakening, a movement beyond self-interest, beyond comfort, into God's purposes. This leads to confession like Paul's in Philippians 3:8. I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. What we must not forget is this. This calling is not reserved only for a special few. Everyone created in the image of God, regardless of status, background, or skin color, is called. This is grace without discrimination. Grace for the ordinary, the overlooked, the simple. Therefore, the church is not a gathering of the successful or the like-minded. It's a community of people called beyond who they are into the level ground of Jesus Christ, where all are welcomed, all are equal, and love precedes status, and service replaces power. So when we gather, different, noisy, strange, imperfect, and lift our voices in praise to Christ at the center, we are not just attending a service. We are living a miracle. Look around. The person sitting next to you may be someone who would never meet outside this place. Yet here you are, singing the same hymns. That's grace. A smile, a cup of coffee, a simple greeting. These small acts echo God's love for diversity. Simply being here, sharing communion in this beloved Mennonite community, is already a sign of grace at work. Brothers and sisters, the church is not meant to be homogeneous. When it is, it becomes merely human. The church is for those willing to embrace discomfort, difference, and even awkwardness with hope and confidence. This is how we grow into Christ, who is the head. Heaven will be no different. There too will be made new, surrounded by unfamiliar faces. Heaven is not the continuation of our earthly circles. There is no specific designated booth for the people of First Mennonite together and enjoy the heavenly banquet themselves. That's not the heaven. So what we practice here, welcoming the unfamiliar, is nothing less than a rehearsal for eternity. Be patient then, even when the person next to you sings off-key. That is totally un-Mennonite. Even when someone's theology irritates you, salvation often comes through discomfort. It's not a snap of fingers or a reward for good behavior. It's a lifelong pilgrimage we walk together. Some walk fast, some walk slowly. Some stumble, some rise again. But all are invited onto the same road. The only real question is this. Do we still have the courage to walk this difficult road together? Hear the words of Hebrews. Let's hold fast to the confession of faith without wavering, for the one who promised is faithful. The journey is long, but we do not walk alone. Once we are called out, there is no retreat, no shying away, only a ruthless trust in God. So let us mingle with one another more courageously, and more curiously, celebrating rather than avoiding our differences, and lift a joyful noise to the Lord. That imperfect, beautiful cacophony will become the sound of God's salvation among us. Here at First Mennonite Church in Calgary, whatever wounds we carry and whatever uncertainties lie ahead, this much is true. Salvation is already at work. Hope is already taking root. Transformation is already being born among those who know they are called out. So, brothers and sisters, having been called by God, live a life worthy of that calling, with humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, and making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. God's calling is irrevocable. God will not leave us until he fulfills his purpose through us. So what do we truly have to lose? Vamos. Let's go. We are the church of God. Let's pray. God, thank you for calling us into your church. Forgive us for belittling your church through our self-interest and pride. From now on, we commit ourselves more deeply and carefully to building your church together with our fellow members. Even when the person next to us is hard to bear, we will endure. No, we will pray for them. Teach us that your calling comes to all without discrimination, with humility, and together with this church called by your purpose, we will walk this uncomfortable, unfamiliar journey of salvation to the end. Grant us strength, courage, and wisdom so that we do not stray from this path of no return. Only confidence, only trust, and only hope.